We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be having back none other than the co-producer of the Jewish Hour and co-director of Jewish Ferndale, director of the Center for Jewish Creativity, Hannah Finman. We'll be talking about a new book that just came out called Layers. It's an anthology of taken from blogs and other sources, and we'll be talking about that. Very fascinating, very, very fascinating. The portion of the week is the portion of Bamidbar, which is the beginning of the book of Numbers, and it's a preliminary, you might say, to the holiday of Shavuos, the Feast of the Pentecost, which we will be talking about in the second half of the hour. We've got wonderful a cappella music. This is our last week of a cappella for a couple of months. An awesome Hasidic story at the end. And before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Ephraim Gordon of Israel was gunned down on the streets of Baltimore. The perp shouted anti-Semitic slurs. Gordon was in the States attending a cousin's wedding. Police are looking for the suspect caught on closed-circuit TV. IDF forces shot and killed three Palestinians who opened fire on the soldiers in central Israel. Three yeshiva students were wounded in a drive-by shooting at a bus stop near Itamar. One of the students later died of his wounds. Security forces captured the terrorist. A car was firebombed in Jerusalem as Arabs continue the Ramadan riots. Police are beefing up security this week on Yom Yerushalayim, that's Jerusalem Day, which corresponds this year to the end of the Muslim holy month. An Israeli helicopter gunship bombed a Hezbollah military camp in Syria, destroying three buildings and injuring three people. In anti-Semitic news this week, the Holocaust Memorial in Portland, Oregon, was defaced with swastikas and anti-Semitic slurs. Asians and Jews made up 70% of hate crimes in New York City so far this year. There were 80 crimes against Asians, up from 16 in 2020, and 54 against Jews, down by 4 cases since last year. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Hannah Finman, the co-director of the Jewish Hour and other titles and hats that she wears. How are you today, Hannah?
I have a lot of hats on.
Yes,
I'm good, thank God.
Good
How
to hear.
You?
Good to hear. Hannah is coming to us today by the power of Zoom. Yes.
Zooming.
So we got the that good clear digital sound coming through. Okay, we're going to be talking about a new book that came out. It's from Corin Publishers called Layers. And to me, I'm thinking cookbook. Yes. No, but it's not.
Like layer cake?
Like layer cake. I'm thinking, as soon as I think of layers, I'm thinking seven layer cake. Or maybe Musticelli or something, but yes. But it's not. It's
certain
not
hairstyles. Yes. You know, I need more layers.
Yeah, considering I have like such short hair, it's not going to work. Okay, so what is this anthology of women's articles that is we're talking about today? Layers, Hannah Finman.
Yeah. Well, when you think layers mean a lot of different things to different people, like we just said. But it also can be in a way of expressing how one person can be extremely multidimensional. Multidimensional. That's, I think, the key word to this new project, which actually started around 2017. And yes, as you said, it was originally kind of like, it started with a woman who's the writer of the book. I'll mention her name, Shira Lankin Sheps. Shira Lankin, S-H-E-P-S. This is a brand new book. That she had a terrible illness, actually, and that led her to wanting to reach out on social media. And from that led to a blog, and that led to a magazine, online magazine, and that led to this project, which I'll describe to you. So it's a project that didn't come out of the blue. You know, they say there's no such thing as an overnight success. Well, with this book, that really is true. This came from one woman who was very educated and, you know, a professional photographer, photojournalist, and her struggle, her personal world, you know, and from that blossomed this quite amazing book. I think that every Jewish woman who is, you know, interested in, say, Israel, in Jewish traditions and behavior, and all of the challenges that could be faced. They, you know, this book has 30 different interviews with women, and there'll be something that either you'll be riveted to hear someone else's story to give you more depth and appreciation of something totally not you, or something that is totally you, and you could be riveted and absorbed. And even if you're not a woman, you can read these and appreciate what people go through.
Okay, let me ask you. You mentioned something about this turning into something called the Layers Project. What do you know about that, Hannah Finman?
Well, the easiest thing for our listeners to do is Google just Jewish women layers. It'll come up right away. And one thing leads to another. Once you're online and looking into the project, you can read about the germination of the project, but also on their website, which is really sophisticated, you can read current entries of Jewish women's challenges right now. When it's beyond hot off the press, it's like coming out of someone's mind and heart and mouth today. Okay, you can read such up-to-date stories. This particular book, though, the editors of a different organization, not the one she actually went with to publish the book, you know, were reading some of her material online. They thought it really could be a good book. But in the end, after she did a lot of preparation work with them, they decided they didn't want to do the project. So it kind of sat and got picked up by our friends at, Corin Publishing House, and it's called Toby Publishers, which is a branch of the great publishing house.
Okay, so let me ask you, Hannah Finman. Yeah. You mentioned that this is an anthology of Jewish women's problems, and some of them are really, like, riveting and whatnot. Is there anything unique about Jewish women's problems, say, about not Jewish women's problems or not women's problems or anybody else's problems? Everybody's got problems. Yeah, right, the Isley Brothers sang about it in 1956. Problems, problems. Yeah, everybody's got problems.
Yeah, everybody's got problems. Okay. Well, we'll answer this question in a personal way, okay? Not from Shira Lankin Shep's voice, but I will answer it from my own. As you know, Herschel, many years ago, when we were young married people, we went to Australia and you studied in the Kollel in Melbourne, Australia, at the Shiva College Center there. And I ran an organization called Ohel Hana adult education program. And under that umbrella, I created a class, or if you would call it a class, a get together called Jewish Women with Jewish Challenges, right? And this goes back to like 1986 or something. That's a long time ago. And I remember I would, you know, make a little flyer and post it around the neighborhood and through the schools there. And we would get a sizable amount of women. And the point of it, to answer your question, it was a good question. What makes a challenge, which we like not to call problems, that seems like impossible, but challenges that we somehow have to figure it out somehow or deal with it somehow, that they were distinctly for Jewish women, because these were issues that dealt with things like, well, I'll just read you from the book. There's things that Jewish life presents. Could be fertility issues. Okay, that's for everybody, but there's distinctly Jewish mitzvahs that have to deal with puru or vu, having children, and people who are following a traditional lifestyle, observant lifestyle, Torah lifestyle. This is a mitzvah. And so it has its own unique challenges that also involve something called the mikvah, which is a ritual bath that women and men on different occasions use for a certain purification process before intimacy, which elevates that whole part of life. So that is very distinctly Jewish. And in this anthology, in the back of it, there is a glossary and an index. And the index, I'll just to read you some of the issues here, just to see why these are Jewish challenges, not in my little Jewish Women's Jewish Challenges group in Melbourne, Australia, but these current ones that are specifically Jewish from the book. I'm reading right out of the index in the back. Anti-Semitism, that's a Jewish problem. Army, all the women in the book, by the way, live in Israel. Okay, so it's talking about the Israeli army and the women who serve in the army, or mothers whose children serve in the army, and how army affects, you know, a wife and her husband's away in the army, or the wife also serves in the army, okay? So it's very specific Jewish, all right? Assault, cancer, okay, they're for everybody, but they have a Jewish slant here. Spiritual journey in the Jewish context. So one of my favorite parts of the book was about a young woman from France. This is amazing, whose mother does Holocaust research. Her parents are historians, but they are not Jewish. And as a little girl, just going to her mother's office all the time and seeing books about the Holocaust really affected her as a child. And she wanted to know more about the Jewish people. It's very intense, her life story, but she does wind up emigrating to Israel. She does become Jewish, she converts. And her story, very, you know, it's not my story, but reading her story helped me say with my challenges because of her courage and her tenacity and her frankness about the struggles that she, you know, feels. If I can say off on a tangent for one moment, is that okay?
Sure, go for it.
Tangent time. Well, because we're coming up to the holiday, the Yom Tov of Shavuos, you had just mentioned. And in preparation to the holiday of Shavuos, we do a lot of different things. We're counting Sefer Sa'omer, we're learning Perkei Avos, whatever. But the other things that we're doing is studying the story of the Book of Ruth, which I've been doing a little bit of that. And I kept thinking of that story, how it relates to Shavuos, okay? This whole idea of a struggle and a challenge for Ruth, okay? And I'm not going to do a whole synopsis of the story, but when I read this contemporary story of this woman who became a convert to Judaism as Ruth is a Moabite woman and becomes a Jew with Naomi and marries Boaz, and that's the great-grandmother of King David, right? And that whole story and this woman's story, it resonates. So it does become very Jewish, like being inspired by the Torah, and seeing how that reflects through each one of these entries. It's an interesting thing to note that when our writer, Shira Lankin Sheps, put together this book, the first whole entire book wasn't even utilized. That whole manuscript, new publisher wanted her to do it all over again. And this is something really neat to see when you go online and you read about her story in making the book, that she and her husband decide to make Aliyah. They're going to, so it was a very Jewish idea here of contemporary Jewish life, of people picking themselves up and moving to Israel, and many of them to Efrat. Efrat is actually the place where Boaz lived. You know, it's part of the Ruth story of Shavuos. So as you're reading this and reading, you know, preparing for Shavuos and learning Torah, it resonates that this Jewish story and their issues and their problems, or whatever you want to call challenges, it goes back to the very beginning. The story of Ruth happened 300 years after what we call Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus of Egypt. It was fairly, you know, a young nation, you know, a young people, and already, you know, facing these, what seems to be insurmountable challenges and how people deal with it. Just like in the anthology, nothing's changed. In our contemporary times, people have what seems sometimes like insurmountable challenges, but all the women do talk about, no matter what level of observance they are involved with, about their reliance on God, on the Creator, whatever, you know, to help them. And even though they're in a lot of deep pain, and they're very frank about that pain, you know, the encouragement of their commitment and faith really does help them, okay, as did our foremothers, so cool, to speak.
Very good. Now, so you started, you were sort of reading, yeah, from the index or table of contents.
Yeah, us, yeah, I only did like four entries.
Give us the full rundown of the topics covered in,
yeah, yeah,
this, okay, book, so, known as Layers. Which
Layers.
Means, yes.
Well, spiritual journey, of course, is a real big one. There's like about 12 entries just on that topic alone. It was like, because everybody's spiritual journey is different. You might have someone with an eating disorder. You might have somebody with a drug addiction. You might have somebody who has incredible loss because someone they really loved has passed away too soon for them. There might be somebody who struggles with their spirituality because they're a Holocaust survivor, an elderly woman, you know, but still vibrant and reflecting on her life. So that will take you into many different times and places. I'm going to read some more. Divorce. Okay, it's a reality for many people.
Okay.
Eating disorders. I'll continue. Grief, infertility, illness, mental health, PTSD, trauma. I'm almost finished. There's just a bit more. Pregnancy is, of course, a big topic. Pregnancy loss, racism. The racism one is very interesting because there's a few entries by women who are Black Jews, Jews that came from India originally, and Jews that have Asian background. You know, we think that all Jews are either Ashkenazi or Sephardic in general, right? Either came from, you know, the Germanic countries, you know, and Poland and Russia, the Ashkenazi group, or your Sephardi come from Morocco, Libya, North African countries like this, right? But no, it's not really true. There are Jewish enclaves in India and all over the world, actually, and they will find their way into contemporary observant Jewish women's life in Israel. And you hear them speak about Ethiopia and the process they had to go through and the challenges that they have. It's, it really brings out your compassion towards the individual and your disdain for, very easily we can use the word racism, but for some people that racism is something they have to visit almost every moment of their lives, merely because of their complexion or the way their face is shaped, you know what I'm saying? And it makes you a little sick in your, you know, to realize how profound it is in the United States, in Israel, wherever they are from.
Okay.
So that's a real eye-opener. I'll finish up. Refugee issues, very Jewish issue, because when Jewish people nowadays make Aliyah and they go to Israel, they're a refugee. You don't think of themselves as refugees, but they are in fact refugees. A lot of people come to Israel not affluent either. So they have a lot of struggle to deal with in adjusting to contemporary Jewish life in Israel as it's known today. A couple more entries. Holocaust, developmental or physical disability. that was very inspiring for me to read. Suicidality. And I'm glad to see that that is part of this, because as we know, unfortunately, it can be very close to many people nowadays, and it's not swept under the rug anymore. War and terrorism, of course, is a big piece, and widowhood. So, So that's your basic topics that you can.
Okay, give us the. We're going to switch to a different topic, but you just give us the name of the book again and the author.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Who published it? Lana Finman.
Layers, and it is by Shira Lankin Sheps, foreword by Rachel Hirschman, and it is by the Toby Publishers, the Layers Project. There's so much to see online before you buy the book, which I urge people to do. It's about $40 or so, $38 or something like that. But go online and look into the Layers Project, and you'll see the pictures of the individual women. Let me just say this. There was a real big problem in Jewish media starting around 2016. When some publisher, some newspaper, magazine thought it was a really good idea, a Jewish publication, when they took a picture of Hillary Clinton to just, she was at a meeting with Obama, to put over her face some really big font writing, so it canceled her out. You couldn't see her. And it said, Hillary Clinton. You saw like maybe a bit of her sleeve on her arm, and that was all you got of Hillary Clinton. And it was the beginning of this kind of media war of erasure of the face of the bodies of Jewish women in Jewish publications, and it made some Jewish women really upset. So this project is also to combat that unevenness in Jewish media, that you would have Jewish women taking the reins and creating their own magazines. And in the book, they went back and revised it many times, and especially because of COVID, the whole project sat for an extra year. They went back and revised it through the whole COVID time and included beautiful pictures of each woman. Okay, she's a new woman, immigrant to Israel, a new aliyah coming home to Israel, right? And she gets this project in her lap, and she starts afresh with all new interviews and travels the entire country seeking out women who want to share their stories. But she made sure to include full page photos of the way each individual woman wants to be visually represented, online version and in the book. And so it's a great piece of photo journalism, and also repairing some damage done by this obsolete idea of women not, being photographed in public media.
Okay.
So there's that component, I just have to say, that was part of the impetus for this project.
Understood. Our guest today is Chana Finman. We're going to be switching topics now. We got the holiday of Shavuos. We got just a couple minutes. So tell us what the holiday of Shavuos means to you. And we're going to be talking about Shavuos later. But you have like less than 5 minutes to do it.
Okay. Well, for me, it's personal because it was the first holiday that I celebrated in terms of being in a Jewish community and observing what people do on Shavuos, going to shul, staying up late at night, studying with other young women, eating blintzes. Without going into too many personal details, I was about 15 years old, and it was the first time that I had an actual authentic Shavuos. I don't think I had heard of Shavuos before that time, because growing up where I grew up, and I went to a Sunday school for some Jewish education and Jewish camps, we did not even know about it. It was sort of like the holiday that fell off the calendar. And so since then, I always kind of consider it a spiritual birthday for myself. So it's a personal thing. And I love it because, well, first of all, it's not like Pesach where you have to stay up so late eating the dinner at, you know, 12 o'clock at night or something, munch on matzahs, you know. It's not hard. You don't have to sit down in the sukkah and get chili or chase away yellow jackets. You understand what I'm saying? It's easier. And it's also springtime. And one of the most beautiful customs that I love about Shavuos is it is a thing to dress up the shuls, the synagogue, with all kinds of greenery and flowers for Shavuos. And we take it a step further and we like to bring them home. So a lot of schools and synagogues will have fundraisers this time of the year. You know, buy your flower arrangements and some money will go to a good cause. We have one here locally that if you buy flowers, the money proceeds go to help our Bichor Cholim here in Detroit, which is a great organization that helps the sick in the hospital, and they get visitations and kosher food and Shabbos candles and the like, visitors. The Bichor Cholim is a beautiful mitzvah, visiting the sick. So we tend to have beautiful bouquets in the house. And, you know, it's just really a lovely holiday. And we do receive the Torah anew. There's an expression, mikabelos haTorah b'simcha b'pnimius. Every say that to each other, that this year you should receive the Torah again, like on Har Sinai, like on Mount Sinai, and do it with an inner joy. Okay. You know, see its true worth, and then it should make you happy.
Okay, that's wonderful. I like being happy, and I like when you're happy. Okay, happy. That's going to do it for this
segment. It's a happy time.
I want to thank you so much, Hannah Finman, for sharing your insight. We talked about layers from Toby Publishers, and we also talked about Shavuos, and we want to wish you continued success in Jewish Ferndale, the Jewish Hour, the Center for Jewish Creativity, and all good things.
Well, thank you for having me, husband, Rabbi Finman, Herschel. Yeah. And your listeners should know that on Shavuos, we do eat cheesecake with many layers.
Okay. So I'll remember. I will remember to do that this Shavuos, and we'll talk about that later. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Time for a little music. This is a whole, talking about anthologies. This is an anthology. This is a whole herd of people got together to make this song. The list of participants is just massive. It would take me 3 minutes just to read it. So the song is called Eliyahu HaNavi, which means Elijah the prophet, whose job it is to announce that Mashiach is coming. And hopefully we'll be hearing that soon. Let's hear this soon. Let's hear this now.
יש הרגש עצום בלב כל ישראל. יותר ואף אחד שבעולם לא ייקח את זה ממני אז תשמע אחי תשמע טוב אנחנו עם קדוש מכל העמים האם תרגיש את זה בתוך הנשמה שהקדוש ברוך הוא בחר בנו ורוממתנו אז דברת שראיתי מכל הלב
נה נה נה
כל הכבוד חברים כל הכבוד ידידים שאנחנו יהודים אנחנו מאמינים צריכים להיות עם הנבחר כל הכבוד אחי כל הכבוד כל הכבוד חברים כל הכבוד ידידים שאנחנו יהודים אנחנו מאמינים צריכים להיות עם הנבחר כל הכבוד אחי כל הכבוד
ברוך השם
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We got another fine piece of music for your listening pleasure. The group is called Rabotai, which means like gentlemen. And the book is called, the song is called Baruch HaGever, which is a Jewish sleepaway camp standard. And they're doing it in a not so standard way.
ברוך הגבר אשר יפתח בשם והיה שם יפתחו ברוך הגבר אשר יפתח בשם והיה שם יפתחו
Stand by me, oh, stand by me.
אשר יבטח בשם והיה אשר יבטח ברוך הגבר אשר יבטח בשם והיה אשר יבטח ברוך הגבר אשר יבטח בשם
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Ari Schulfinman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. This is Yeshiva Boys Choir. The song is called Panecha, which Panecha means your face, and which the basic gist of the song is that the Almighty should turn his face towards us.
Bye.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Herr Schlifferman here, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. The portion we're going to be reading in the synagogue is the portion of Bamidbar, the beginning of the book of Numbers. It was mandated 2,500 years ago by the prophet Ezra, also known as Ezra the Scribe, leader of the Jewish people who built the Second Temple, that this week's portion always be read the Shabbos before Shavuos. That would indicate that there's a connection between Bamidbar and the holiday of Shavuos. And the Shelah HaKodesh, who was a philosopher, passed away in 1698, wrote a magnum opus called The Two Tablets of the Covenant, maintains that there is a direct connection between the holiday and the portion and the portion and the holiday. And I'm going to take it one step further. It's not just one thing, but it has to be the entire portion somehow has to relate to the holiday. Because otherwise, why is it in that portion? It could be in some other portion. The Almighty has ways of writing things. He could have written about that subject someplace else. But because it falls out into this week's portion, it has to do with the holiday of Shavuos. The portion of Bamidbar, which is the beginning of the book of Numbers, is called Numbers because there's like lots of senses and people are getting counted all over the place. And we've talked about before the significance of counting things. In the middle of the portion, there is a census for the Levites. The Levites were counted separate. They did not participate in the golden calf. They were therefore chosen to be the ones to work in the temple to help the Kohanim, the priests. Initially, it was supposed to have been the firstborn from every tribe that were to work in the temple. But because of their being disqualified through the golden calf, the Levites took over. And there was a whole exchange. 22,000 firstborn were exchanged for 22,000 Levites. But there was a number, I think I don't have the number on top of my head, I should have looked it up. Sorry, I think it was 272 extra firstborns. And what happened with them is they were redeemed. And we have this ceremony, which we do now, called the redemption of the firstborn, Pidyon HaBen, whereby the, technically speaking, a firstborn is supposed to be indentured to the Kohanim, to the high, to the priests, the work in the temple. But because of the disqualification, they can't. But they still belong to the priest. So the parents give a set fee, it's 5 ounces of silver, to the Kohen, to the priest. And then the priest says, okay, I'll take the $5, you take the kid, and happily ever after. And this is a ceremony. It's not done a whole lot because there's, believe it or not that many firstborn boy babies. And there's other qualifications that are required. So it doesn't happen very often, but it happens. And what's the connection with that in Shavuos? In preparation for the holiday of Shavuos, Moses went up the mountain on the second day of the month of Sivan, which is 4 days beforehand, and came down and said, "Vatemti yili mamlechas kohanim v'goy kodesh. You will be to me a nation of priests and a holy people." And he appointed them at that point what we refer to as, quote unquote, the chosen people. What are we chosen for? We are chosen to be a light unto the nations. We have to be the example of what to do and what not to do. It's a big responsibility on our part. The holiday of Shavuos puts us into the position of being the firstborn. Now, there is something called the redemption of the firstborn, but the firstborn still remains the firstborn. And even though we are not working in the temple, and right now even the Kohanim, the priests, aren't even working in the temple because, there is no temple. But it's the responsibility of every single one of us, because we were chosen 4 days before the holiday of Shavuos, to be those people who are on the front lines to bring Mashiach, to welcoming the Messianic era. At which point it says that the revelation that we appeared, that was referred to in English as the Pentecost, the revelation of the five books of Moses, will be dimmed like a candle in the sunshine. That's what we're trying to work for with the coming of the Messianic era. It should be speedily in our day, even before we get to Shavuos. So when it comes down to it, as a preparation for the holiday of Shavuos, we have to realize, yes, we have a responsibility. Now, this responsibility, we said before, okay, chosen people, good. But there are 16 million Jews in the world and 7.5 billion people. The 14 million, 16 million, whatever, can't do it themselves. Everybody is a child of the Almighty. And everybody has to be a living example of what to do and what not to do. And for the nations of the world, they have the 7 Noahide laws of believing in God, not believing in idols, not committing adultery, theft, or murder, not being cruel to animals, and adhering to the laws of the land, which should be made in a just way, and the judicial systems and the police forces to maintain those just laws. This is what is going to bring the Messianic era. The world is messed up. Everybody says, oh, the world's so messed up. Okay, do something positive. Take the negative and make it positive. Something happened? Do something positive. Whatever that is, you fill in the blank. And when all of us become positive and doing positive, I guarantee it, Messiah will be here. Speaking of being here, we're getting towards the end of the show. We got a story coming up next. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hey, Shultonman, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. If you would like to get in touch with me, drop me a line at my website, rabbifinman.com. Right there on the homepage, we have a contact link. And I would appreciate all inquiries, questions, comments, criticism, whatever it is that's on your mind. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about something you heard about the show, because I field questions all day long on various and sundry topics in Judaism. There's also archived editions of the show on rabbifinman.com. Missed something from last week's show, the week before, the week before, the week before, the week before. It's going back, I don't know, maybe 4 years I think we have. It's a good thing. You could drive cross country and you could just listen to the Jewish Hour. Let me know how that goes. There's also classes that we do, other media in which we present Judaism, and there's a very important donations page. It's the beginning of the month. We, thank God, paid for April. And we do this month to month to month to month to month and have been doing so for 25 years. That's 300 months that we have been making this appeal. And some months we come up short, but we seem to have made out with it because we're not in the hole this year. And we've been able to do it even with COVID. We appreciate all your efforts till now. So go to rabbifinman.com, go to the donations page, and click on any number you like or enter your own number. The Jewish Hour is also part of a 503C corporation. We're part of a nonprofit, big umbrella group we have. We're under a very big umbrella. And we accept properties also, cars, boats, land, exercise equipment, anything, any type of durable good. I'm not interested in your old washing machine per se, but you know, you get the idea. So go to RabbiFinman.com and you can contact me for if you want to give stuff, but go to the donations page if you want to give cash. Don't like internet giving? Understood. Go to send your a donation in any amount to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. This story happened not all that long ago, like maybe 10 years ago. There were, we talked about before, in Israel, they have compulsory service. Everybody who's 18 years old, they finish high school before they can do anything else with their life. They have to go into the military. So it just so happened that there were some soldiers that were stationed at a certain guard post, and it was the middle of the night, and there was a certain person by the name of Shlomo Bergman who suddenly heard a shot and went to go investigate. And he saw another soldier, Gadi Ramon, who had been shot and was bleeding. And he was bleeding rather profusely. So he applied pressure to hold down the bleeding and called for a backup, and he was airlifted to the hospital. He was in hospital for quite a long time. But it was known that what happened, the story happened, and Gadi, who was shot, got better. And the official word came out from the IDF that there was a soldier who, that because of this soldier, saved Gadi's life. Now, they never knew who the soldier was. They didn't list who it was. They couldn't find out. They called up the base. No, sorry, we don't give out information. That's, you know, it's confidential. Sorry, nope. Okay, so now, Mrs. Ramon, Gadi's mother, wanted to thank this person who saved her son's life. And so what did she do? Israel's not that big of a place. Okay, there's only 7 million Jews living in this country, smaller than the size of New Jersey. And so she put it out on social media, and she hung a sign in her store. She had like a grocery store in Ashdod, describing that what had happened and that they would like to meet the soldier. And a year went by. Nothing happened. A year went by. And a woman came into the store, and she saw the sign, and they started talking. And it turned out that her son was the one who saved the Gadi Ramon. And so they made a whole appointment. They called up right away, and everybody should come. And the mother, the two sons came, and the fathers came, and it was a very emotional thing. And then suddenly, Mrs. Bergman, the person who saved Shlomo's mother, the person who saved the life, pulled Gadi Ramon's mother over and said to her, "Do you recognize me?" She said, "No, I don't recognize you." She said, "Let me tell you a story. 22 years ago, I was very depressed. I lived in this neighborhood. And I came into your store, and you asked me, 'What's the matter?' And I said, 'I'm very depressed. I'm pregnant. I don't want to have the baby. I'm having an abortion. And I feel terrible. And I don't want, and I just can't do this. I'm all by myself. I'm alone.' Evidently, she got pregnant from a boyfriend who abandoned her. And you and your husband sat down with me and talked to me because the Bergmans were a member of an organization called Efrat, which happened to have been started by my sister-in-law. I'm telling you, this is me, Herschel Finman's sister-in-law. Her name was Yehudis Rothschild. And she started this organization some 30-something years ago to help pregnant women have their babies. Unfortunately, my sister-in-law passed away this year from breast cancer and left a big hole in everybody's life. But Efrat still continues this organization. So back to the story. So the Bergmans were members of Efrat, and they really did what they could to get involved, to provide the needs for this woman whose name was Ramon. And she said, the man who saved your son's life, meaning my son, only exists because you saved his life 22 years ago before he was born. It's amazing. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week and a wonderful Shavuos. And we'll be back again next week. Take care.